Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to season two of Jesus Plus Therapy Sis. Welcome back to all our listeners and old and new. We want to introduce our first season two community partners, Melon and Mental Health Directory and LMU Studios. Check them out on all social media platforms. And hey, don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and follow Jesus Plus Therapy Sis on all podcast platforms. Y'all don't want to miss what's going on in season two. Hey, 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 I'm so excited we are back. So excited we're back. So with that being said,
the spot, welcome back.
Welcome back to Jesus Plus Therapy Sis Season 2. Can y'all believe it? We are in Season 2. Like, we completed a whole season, 14 good episodes. Y'all, what is God gonna do for us? Because we've just been superly obedient. Like, have you ever just, like, celebrated your own obedience? Be like, that's how I feel. I feel like, man, we just been obedient. We out here in these streets being obedient, girl.
Yes, obedience is better. How about that?
Yeah, it really is. It really is better than sacrificing. But yeah, we've been really sacrificing. Like, Cynthia is tired right now. She has been working up a storm. She was like, I know we got to do it.
I kid you not, y'all, I wanted to literally call and be like, I'm sorry. You just gonna have to be mad at me, but I am tired. But I said, no, we just gonna have to push it back later and we'll just record. Cause I want to get in the habit. I don't know, but I've thoroughly enjoyed my break. And so I want to get back in the habit of recording on our regularly scheduled nights so I can get back in the swing of things. Because once I get out of a routine, I am out of it. And I don't know about you, but once I'm out of it, I'm out of it. It so is hard for me to just back.
Yeah, so if we hadn't did it the night we usually did it, I would have been struggling.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm grateful that, you know, we pushed it back or whatever, but we're doing it, like, we're consistent. Like, I really feel like this is the year God is like, let me see what you're going to do. You keep asking me for something, but let me see what you're going to do. And so, listen, I got that revelation when I preached on Sunday, and I was just like, how this red admin got me all up in my feelings, Jesus, like... Listen, when I tell you the Holy Spirit was just, oh my gosh, if y'all want to see the sermon, go to our Facebook page. It's on the Facebook page of Jesus Plus Therapy Sis Facebook page. But man, when I tell you, I can feel him. I can see the change. And even though I'm so not knowing what this year is going to be looking like, I know one thing, I'm coming out on top.
Oh, you want to be on top? That's America's Next Top Model, you know. Hey, see, that is so long. I don't know where it came from. But tell me this, like, for the first time, it's almost 30 days, not really, but how's your first 20 however many days been?
It's been a roller coaster of emotions.
Girl, I agree, honey. I'm like, what is really going on?
A roller coaster of emotions. It's definitely been a roller coaster of emotions and a roller coaster of faith. I looked at my prayer journal and awesome things I said March got to be big, because I'm asking for some big stuff in March. Like, I'm talking about I'm gonna meet my husband in March. I said I'm gonna get licensed in GA in March. So I'm working on the application. Because you know, you can write stuff down, but if you ain't putting no application and ashes behind it, it's just written fantasies. That's a fantasy, okay? Mm-hmm. You don't put no type of action behind it. You ain't gotta put.
We talked about that last season with Habakkuk writing a vision and making it plain.
Mm-hmm. It's just a fantasy, baby. So I had to get my life and be like, okay, let me get my paperwork together since y'all said I did it wrong. So definitely those things. But I think the biggest thing that's really disturbed me is how many people have gotten divorced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh. Like, these are people, like, I think I was rooting for. Like, oh, okay, y'all different, but I'm still rooting for you. Like, I'm rooting for you.
Lord, I think for me, it was a shocker. Definitely. Just thinking about when it broke, when the news broke, you know, I was just kind of like, oh my God, I thought they was really going to make it.
Right. Like, he didn't defend her from the church people.
Yes.
And everything. Yeah, y'all know what we're talking about. We're talking about
Devin. Is his name Devin?
Okay.
Or Devon.
Devon. I thought it was Devon Franklin and Megan Gooden. I know y'all like, that's old news, but it really is not. It's an awareness of what the divorce rate looks like in the church and why. Why is the church divorce rate higher than the world's divorce rate? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's supposed to be the total opposite. And what are we doing as a body that in the beginning, so either the foundation shaky and we ignore it, or the work is shaky and we not trying to do it. One of the two things, right? Like,
What do you mean? How the work can be shaky though? I know about the time, but what do you mean about the work?
So, statistically, mm-hmm. So this is the therapy side. So 5, 7, and 10 years; those are the significant years in a marriage. 5 years is like the climax; it's like the honeymoon phase that's finally worn off. Mm-hmm. 7 years, of course, we know prophetically 7 is the number of completion, but that's also the completion of really evaluating, is y'all gonna make this work? And then 10 is just like that decade, like we made it a whole decade. Am I willing to put in the work to continue on? So it's like 5 years is like trial, like that's mm-hmm. like this your trial subscription. 7 years is your commitment. 10 years is your consistency. And I say 5, 7, and 10 because statistically it says those are the years that divorces happen. Mm. So if you make it to 5, you make it divorce at 7. If you make it to 7, you make it divorce at 10. And you see there's a huge change in that person's life, this wake up that takes place within the marriage of how the two of you have changed since you first got married. And I think a lot of times people don't realize that. So like this, like the scripture in Proverbs 18:22, when it talks about a man that findeth, that TH means there's a continuation. Just because you said I do doesn't mean you stop looking, because guess what? Y'all are not going to be the same people from year 1 to year 5, from year 5 to year 7, from year 7 to year 10. Y'all are not the same people. Mm-hmm. And so if the work of evolution is not there, guess what's going to happen? Y'all, somebody going to either get tired or somebody going to stop fighting.
Oh, that's good.
Because somebody's evolving while the other one is stuck in evolution. Mm. And so I think a lot of times the reason why we see divorce in the church is because nobody's willing to evolve. Nobody's willing to fight.
Oh, that's good. Nobody's willing to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, my God. Well, I think I can't speak for divorce, but I can speak for building a foundation in the work. I noticed that a lot of people aren't willing to do the work that it takes to build a foundation.
Mm.
You know, it's so very easy, especially these church folk, honey. It's so easy for us to just want to get married for the sake of humping, okay? Mm. And we skip over getting to know a person. And I just believe that believers don't know, or the new believers, I don't want to say new believers, what's a good way to say it? Babes in Christ, or the unseasoned saint. They have yet to, or we have yet, because I'm going to still group myself in it because I still got work to do. But we have yet to learn how to truly court. Like we forgot the art of courting. I think that it's more so nowadays, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Let's just hook up and see where it go. And if our vibe is right, if you giving me the right energy, you know, then we can see where this goes. But really, even with building a foundation, it takes work. It takes intentionality. And I think we've lost the art of being intentional.
That's so crazy. So when you were talking about that, I was thinking about lately, I don't know if you follow Toby Nwege. I hope I said his name right. In fact, right? Yeah. His wife, I actually watched their dating story, and it's like 4 or 5 parts. In that story, he did not like her. Matter of fact, he was real kind of rude with her, right? Very disheveled with her, like, I don't like you like that. Like, we could be friends. And then when he gave it a try, he was like, yeah, it ain't gonna work. He called it off. But she was consistent. And I was reading the comments, right? Because they were addressing the comments about their love story, right? That people had put via YouTube or either, you know, Instagram, whatever. And how they were like, oh, he only married her for the brand, or he don't love her. Did he see he too ugly? Why he talking down to her? Because if you hear how he talked about the love story and how he was talking, you would think, man, that's like real rude. But he took the woman side. Like, he was like a woman, and he said the reason why I wasn't attracted to her because I was waiting for the butterflies. And he was like, I was waiting for the butterflies. And I said, man. And then his mentor at the time said, ain't no butterflies. He said, if you're getting married based on feelings, then you miss why God told you to get married.
Wow. So,
listen, he was like, love is not something you turn on and off. If God said, love yourself and your neighbor, he didn't say that's not a feeling. That's an actual characteristic. Love is a characteristic. And we've made love a feeling or emotion, something we can change, something we can interchange, something we can turn on, something we can turn off. So that means that we're not really operating in the true foundation of love. And so, you know, as he continued, he, you know, his mentor told him that, and then he started to see that in a different way, because he realized the consistency of her love towards him, regardless how he rejected her, regardless how he told her no, because he rejected her pretty big, okay, y'all? Regardless, go back and watch the stories on YouTube. Like, you're going to be like, this nigga, I know he did. Like, I was kind of like, low-key in my, know they were saved, like, and sometimes we put God in places God is not inserted when it comes to love and that courtship thing that you were talking about. Sometimes we put God in a place where God ain't told me, God, God did. Like, God will tell you as you move sometimes. Sometimes he's not going to give you a whole plan why before you get through or in the situation. Sometimes he needs you to get in and then he'll guide you. And so I think a lot of times when you talk about courtship, that requires another level of surrendering to God and hearing God. And so he was telling the story, and then I went back to the Hill story, Jackie and Preston Hill. And their story was crazy because they used discipleship. Remind you, Jackie was in the lifestyle of a homosexuality. She was a pure D-lesbian, straight up dude. And she'll tell you, like, she didn't see herself pregnant. She didn't see herself with nobody. And when Preston started to get feelings for Jackie, he questioned them, and he had to go get discipled by somebody else. And in that, she was getting discipled to be a woman, to learn, to know, to tap into those feelings when it comes to the opposite sex, because she knew that's where God had taken her. So I think a lot of times when we see couples, especially those in the church, getting divorced, that we need to examine, were they discipled? Did they hear God? And then they act in the characteristics of God, or were they always in their feelings and they just had the revelation they was in their feelings?
You know what I realized? And we were talking about evolution. I just smacked my lips, Lord help. Anyway.
Y'all, what we tell y'all, for the new listeners, we record at night. That's so, all we can tell you.
That's it.
That's so, it.
When I think about evolution, I think about, let's just say, a span of 10 years and how much I've changed in 10 years and how much a person can change in 10 years. And if if we met in 2010 or however they may go, and the person you met in 2010 is not the person you get in 2022. And so just thinking about how the ebbs and flows of my growth, you know, and putting it in the confines of a relationship, child would have drove somebody crazy. And that's why I think it is, I've been really, really thinking about this, especially with me being in this femininity thing with the Lord. Like, if I were to get married in that span of time, I would have been divorced, honey. And just thinking about, you know, those times when I was silent, didn't want to talk, when I would retreat, when I would run. Sometimes I still run, but been better. I put on one shoe and now both of them. Okay. But you know, just thinking about the ups and downs, ins and outs, twists and turns, backwards and forth. Do you think that people, like, they don't make them like they used to? I think we want grandmama and granddaddy's love, or in marriage, but we don't have grandmama and granddaddy's stick and stay ability. And I think that's why divorce is so prevalent in the church.
So let's talk about grandma and granddaddy.
Okay.
Because we talk about stick and stay, but let's talk about some elements that we don't talk about. The fact that sometimes granddaddy had another family.
Granddaddy had a whole
nother
family.
But here's the kicker. Or grandma had a whole nother family. And they raised them together. Like, it was no hiccups. I think the stick and stay with them was because they were always in survival mode. You got to remember, let's go back to evolution. Our grandparents were in survival mode. So it wasn't always about love. Sometimes it's about surviving together. Sometimes it's about security and safety and protection and provision. Sometimes it was about you. I'm aware of who you are. You're aware of who I am. And because of that, I need you by my side. Sometimes it was about comfortability. Sometimes it was about, so the sticking state of grandparents, we got to think about it. Some of that was unhealthy. Everything wasn't healthy in those sticking state moments.
Absolutely, it was very unhealthy. It was a lot of things that were swept under the rug and this and third. And I think that, and this is where the therapy comes, is that we have to learn, and this is just my educated opinion, we have to learn to take what was good of grandmama and present day modern woman, quote unquote, and mold that together and make it applicable to where we are now. And that is where I think femininity for me will be birthed. Mm-hmm. By being able to merge then and now and bring something new into the future. And I think that's where a lot of us are stuck. Some of us are stuck in the old. Some of us are stuck in the now. And we haven't found the strategy or the structure to collide both worlds and make something new.
I think we have it, but the work, it goes back to work, right? Mm-hmm. It takes work to be in a relationship, especially if you all come from two different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
It takes work to be in a place of consistency and not seeing moments of rejection. Going back to Nwege's love story, that could have left. She could have chunked the deuces. But God had told her, in the end, this your husband. What do you do when you get the revelation? He ain't got the revelation.
Child, you wait.
And what does that wait look like? Because see, when she waited on him, she served him. She became available to him as a friend. She started dating. He started dating. And what opened his eyes is when in a world or in a room full of people he wanted to talk to, he had crushes on, he chose her because she had put in the work of her heart. Sometimes we work, but we work with the motive of being seen and not the heart of just loving.
Oh, that's good. And that goes back to, like, you have to even, and I'm learning this, I've learned this along the span of 10, almost 11 years. And you taught me this, how to serve. You have to learn how to serve in any relationship, but more so, especially your spouse. You have to learn how to be of service to them in any capacity. That comes with being, quote unquote, Eve. Eve's job or purpose was to be a helpmate. In order to be a successful helpmate or a productive helpmate, you have to have a servant's heart. And I think that we have, as a people, we become so self-driven that we've forgotten how to serve. We don't know how to serve one another.
Yeah, and also I think we serve with the motive of a thank you in return.
Oh yeah, a thank you in the return, and what is this gonna do for me?
Right. Like, how can this advance me? Right, our motives are not pure.
Mm-hmm.
I really wanna talk about, because I see this all the time in my practice, couples who are saved, who stay with their spouses regardless because of the church.
Mm.
Maybe their position as a church, in the church, which could be a leader, or even their position within the fivefold ministry. And how that looks, right? And I've heard this story. I can't disclose names, of course. But the story of, you know, divorce was seen as a sin, so much so that I was scared to even do it, though I was getting abused emotionally, physically, mentally. I just didn't see a way out without not pleasing God, right? Because the Bible says the only way I can get a divorce is if there's infidelity, and if there's an infidelity, when do I exit? How do I exit if I'm getting beat or just physical abuse, emotional abuse, spiritual abuse, right? I'm a prophet. I'm the pastor. I'm the teacher, the evangelist, whatever you are in the fivefold, right? Or I'm a leader, and how this going to make us look and you're a leader, and how to, that spiritual abuse, and how many couples stay together because of the spiritual, the fear of the aftermath. The fear of what they're going to say. Is my title going to go away? The fear of losing the title or the gift of the anointing, or looking as though I can't name how many people stay in their marriage, not because it's cheaper to keep them, but because it's cheaper. Right. Not because it's cheaper to keep them, but not because it's easier to be in to him, right? Just because they got this fear of the church. Not God, the church.
How unhealthy is that? How unhealthy is that, a fear of the church? Girl.
How you feel the hospital?
Oh, okay. The place that's supposed to help you and heal you and get you to a place of stability. You're afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to think about it. Like, the way that we, most of us, grew up in church, it was very religious. A lot of the principles and doctrines that we were brought up on were not right. And they were strictly man-made, not spirit-led, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I could see where it was, where fear could creep in. I can see that, but it doesn't make it right. I feel, and this is just my opinion, if it's unhealthy, you should be able to break away. People love to bring scripture into the mix, but they don't think context. They don't think the times in which this was written. And they love to put their interpretation on the word. I just don't live by that principle anymore. But it saddens me how many people really do.
Right. And when I think about, you know, the Franklin Gooden couple, when I think about that, I think, I wonder what part of this decision was church driven. What part of the decision was church driven?
You mean as though, like, she didn't match what the quote unquote, what the right church would deem acceptable?
Right. But also the fact that she didn't realize her position because of the church. Like, she didn't realize her position as helpmate and his position as pastor. Right? Because of the church. So I wonder what percentage of this decision to be friends and separate was church driven. Again, I don't think the church knows how great of an influence it is to those who believe. And I think what we see in the body of Christ is we don't know our influence. We know our power and we abuse it, but we don't know how the consequences of that power influences
a generation.
Right, generation and so many facets of our life.
Absolutely.
I think we think when we're in that building, that's when we're influenced. No, some people are influenced after they leave that building.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's
lifestyle evangelism.
Right. So it just amazes me how the church is just such a huge influence, but lacks how it does it. Like, they're so nonchalant about it.
It lacks integrity.
Yes.
It lacks so much integrity. And I think a lot of it comes from ego. A lot of it comes from just being ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
And choosing to remain ignorant.
Yeah.
In some instances, because sometimes I've heard the quote so many times, when you know better, you do better. But some of us have been doing wrong for so long that, you know, let me just keep doing what I've been doing.
Right.
And it saddens me that people just don't want to or have no desire to change.
Mm. Yeah, most definitely. So as we wrap up, what are our takeaways? Like, we've been doing good the last season. I really want us to keep doing it. What are some takeaways that we want to challenge our audience to think about or even put into place?
For me, I would say, I know for me, my Jesus journey started when I just really got the revelation that the man in the podium is the same as the man in the stands. I mean, he's a man. He's fallible. And when we learn that these people are not idols, and we take them off the pedestal and stop making them gods with the lowercase g, then we can start to find who Jesus is or who God is to us. And I'm learning, because I ain't got it all together yet, but I'm learning that in relationships, it requires work. And if I'm not willing to put in that work, I'm gonna wait. I'm not gonna waste anybody's time. I'm gonna figure out who I am. And even if I have a revelation or whatever, I'm not going to force your process. I'm not going to rush it. Your process is yours and mine is mine. And I'm going to trust my own process. And however long it takes, you know, I have to be okay with that. I have to be willing to wait for my own process to be completed before I try to insert myself into someone else's life. I'm learning the joy in waiting. Because it's a lot of joy in waiting. You get to laugh at a lot of foolery, honey, and let it pass you right on by. And so I'm learning not to be in a rush, because fools rush in and I almost said a bad word, and they mess up. And I really want, whenever God sees fit for me to find my spouse or my spouse finds me, I really want my marriage to last long. And so if I gotta wait long to get that, then I'll wait. And I won't rush to the first option of divorce. You know, to me, that's easy. It's the easy thing to do. And I don't want to put my children, my family or whatever in that. I'd rather just wait for somebody who's willing to put in the energy and fight with me versus mm-hmm. fight against me. It's what about good. You?
So, as someone who is who is divorced, has been divorced for 9 years.
Girl, I can't tell, girl.
Girl, this weight has been so serious. So when you was talking about weight, I was like, you have it. That's the joy.
My revelation, girl.
Listen, and you found joy in waiting. That must be the joy I used to have, but they ain't the joy I got right now. As a divorcee myself, as I stated, for the last 9 years, the things that I've realized, so let me say this, from that process of divorce, I realized I wish I had someone who was willing to fight for me as hard as I was fighting for them. And so I think that's one thing you have to realize in that courtship, you develop a fight or you get the revelation of what their fight looks like. And listen, if they shadow boxing, them ain't the people you want, right? If they're not confronting it head to head, if they're not giving you how they about to fight, they're not giving you the strategy of the fight, that ain't who you want as your teammate. And you have to realize that this thing called relationship requires a team. One person is not greater than the other. Y'all are great together. I think Neo said it best. What did girl, you say? She was dancing. I need to be a force with somebody. I don't need to always feel like I'm by myself. And here's the kicker. We both have relationships with God, our individual relationship and then our collective relationship with God. And so if our collective relationship does not align with our individual, and if the individual not align with the collective, then we have an issue. And so the lesson I've learned in being single, married, divorced, and back single is that I want someone who not can just woo me. Mm. I got woo, y'all.
You woo, woo, woo.
Hello? I got wooed romantically. Like, and here's the thing. The greatest lesson he taught me is what I didn't want.
You know what? These are the moments where I wish we had them sound effects like da 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 da.
Listen, that's the greatest lesson he's ever taught me. And in him teaching me that lesson, I realized what I needed. Not what I wanted, but what I needed. And I knew that I needed someone who was willing to pursue God with me, not through me.
Girl, shut your mouth. Say it again.
I knew I needed somebody who's willing to pursue God with me and not through me. And I think a lot of times...
Oh, Lord. Oh, girl, I got to... That's a tweetable, honey. That's a tweetable. Say it one more time for the people in the bite. The bite.
Oh, my gosh. I need someone who's willing to pursue God with me.
Huh?
And not through me.
Sharabahaya. Hey.
And I think we looking for Boaz when Ashley Ruth shot her shot with Boaz. We don't talk about that part of the story. We just talk about how she slept at his feet, but she didn't get to his feet until she shot her shot. With the help of Naomi.
Hmm.
So that discipleship was there. And so I think a lot of times what we're doing is we're trying to create a standard that's not really there. It's not a God standard. It's a man standard or a religious standard. So we talk about a man that find a wife, find a good thing, attain favor for God, right? Correct. When you all come together because he chose you, he found favor with God It never said that you had to wait to be found. And I think a lot of times what we find ourselves doing as the body of Christ is taking things into context, as you said earlier, and not looking at the full context. We see something and we interpret it the way we see it, when we need to really dive in deep to understand what's happening in the story. Even when we look at the courtship of the Song of Solomon, they both shot their shots at each other. As a matter of fact, she was a little bit more aggressive in her shooting than he was.
Come on, aggression.
And so you have to realize, and not, let me say this for my single sisters. I'm not saying go stop the brother. But I am saying being bold enough to let him know that you are available.
Do not be in his bushes, sis.
Do not be all up in his DMs. You got a 3 DM message okay? 3 DM messages. Don't respond to the third one, then girl, let it go. Let it go, like Elsa said, let it go. Can't hold back anymore, okay? Move on to the next, because somebody's deserving of your shot. Yeah. So you have to understand that. But as a divorcee, those are the things that I've learned. And I learned that it's okay. I'm not going to be ashamed if I like a dude and I say, hey, I think you're handsome. You know, can we go out or can we get coffee? I don't think it's wrong of me to do that. And so I think those are the things that we need to understand as we continue to see, continue to work on those divorce rates to go down, as we continue to learn when to exit stage left, right, when we need to fight it out versus and stick it out, right? Have that stick mentality. Motives are so much greater.
Yep.
Check your motives. Why you want to be married? What's your motive of being married? I think somebody else, I think it was one of TDJ's daughters said, I got married to make hell mad. And if that's not your motive, then baby, you need to not get married. Baby, and Paul said some will be married and some will not. But he said it's better to burn. it's better for you to get married than to burn. That's what he said. It's better for you to get married than to burn. Listen, I ain't trying to burn, so I'm trying to get married, okay? But my motive for getting married beyond the burning part is so I can make hell mad. So check your motives.
Check your motives.
On that note, y'all, thank y'all so much for tuning in to the first episode of season 2. So this is episode 15. In season 2. Oh my gosh. I can't believe it. Thank you all for being part of the Jesus Plus Therapy Sis podcast family. We'll see you next week.
Next week.